This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Biblical Turkey is the focus of our tour, which we have scheduled for the coming June and for which we have been inviting participation for the past year. It's also the name of a book by Mark Wilson, director of the Asia Minor Research Center based in Antalya, Turkey. When the book came out 15 years ago, we interviewed Mark, and we are offering that program once again as a preview of what's to see in Biblical Turkey. Mark Wilson notes that two-thirds of the New Testament books are written to or from Asia Minor. Many of the sites in the book, which we will be visiting, are related to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, as reported in the Book of Acts. Some of the sites have more archaeology than others. Derbe, a city Paul visited on his first missionary journey, was one of the sites that had not even been excavated at the time of this interview.
Yes, we have really three unexcavated sites. Derbe, as you mentioned, Lystra is the second one, and Colossae is the third. There have been attempts to obtain permits, especially at Colossae. The other two, as far as I know, there have been no excavation permits filed for them. So we're optimistic that sometime here in the next few years, excavations can begin at Colossae.
And when you talk about sites related to biblical archaeology in central Turkey, another of the sites that should be mentioned is Hattusha, capital of the Hittite Empire. We read about the Hittites in the Old Testament, so it makes sense to talk about this site as well.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing area to go into. You have the main city itself at Hattusha, and then there's a religious sanctuary just next to it called in Turkish Yazılıkaya, the stone with writing. And they still have on the rocks there amazing stone reliefs then of the various gods and goddesses of the Hittite pantheon there.
Well, the 19th century was a time of great archaeology, and yet archaeologists had not discovered this Hittite site until the 20th century. The Germans did quite a bit of work there, and according to your book, they discovered a lot of tablets with writing on them, and many of them have yet to be translated.
Yes, the finds from these tablets are still being worked on. Because of the remoteness of these areas, they were some of the last of these major sites to be discovered here in Turkey.
So we may have new discoveries of aspects of the Hittite Empire still to come from that research.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another of the sites in central Turkey related to the journeys of the Apostle Paul is Iconium, one of the oldest cities in the world.
Today it's the modern city of Konya, again overbuilding the ancient city, a city of a million people, and again, unfortunately, not a lot to see there. There's a very nice archaeology museum in the city that has some inscriptions mentioning Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium lined up together. So that's one of the main things that groups will stop and see as they're passing through Konya.
So there's a fair number of archaeological sites to see in central Turkey. A lot of Christian pilgrims visit the sites in western Turkey associated with the seven cities of Revelation. We visited some of those cities during our 2001 Book in the Spade tour. Probably the biggest archaeological site in that area is Ephesus, at one time the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire, a very visited site, 3.5 million visitors every year.
Yeah, whenever you are making your tour of the city, you're kind of fighting the cruise ship passengers as they're making their way through. Fortunately, they're moving quite quickly. But yeah, it gives you a sense, though, with the crowded streets today, what it must have been like there in the time of Paul and John in the first centuries. It truly is a magnificent archaeological site. And there's other sites related to the ancient city nearby. So it really takes a full day or more to see everything in the region.
But it's also a bit disappointing in a couple of respects. One is the harbor that would be familiar to the Apostle Paul has been silted in, and the coast is several miles away. The other is that the Temple of Diana, or Artemis, which at that time was the largest building in the Hellenistic world, is nowhere to be seen.
So it is really quite disappointing for groups when you pull off to say this is where it formerly stood and see the column that they've re-erected and just see kind of this hole in the ground there. So this is why on another day I typically take my groups down to Didyma, which was an oracle temple associated with Miletus. It was actually designed by one of the same architects who designed the Artemisium there in Ephesus. And there you can still see, it's one of the best preserved temples we have in Turkey, the magnificence of these ancient temples. I kind of link the two together, and so people don't just have to use their imaginations when they go to the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus.
The influence of Ephesus on the New Testament is major. Paul spent quite a bit of time living there, and also the Apostle John.
Absolutely, and we're told in Acts 19, from Ephesus then, the gospel radiates throughout the province of Asia from Paul's preaching and teaching there, especially in the Hall of Tyrannus, for over 2 years. And of course, one of the places it goes is 100 miles east up to the Lycus River Valley. And we have three churches there. We've talked about Colossae briefly, but Laodicea and Hierapolis are both in that same triangle there in the valley. And those are two of the most exciting archaeological sites in Turkey today. An Italian team that's working full speed at Hierapolis. So you have the natural beauty of these travertines, the white cliffs that you so often see in the promotional literature from the tourism here in Turkey. And the hot springs there, you can, in the hotels, enjoy the thermal pools at night. They've just recently excavated the martyrium of Philip there and are working now on the renovation of the theater. And then just across the valley, you've got the work at Laodicea, which, as you probably know, 10 years ago, there was nothing to see there.
We mentioned that a number of times on the Book of the Spade. This is very recent.
Turkish archaeologists from the local university there are working 12 months of the year, around the clock, with the sponsorship of the local government. They're just making an amazing progress of unearthing the site of Laodicea.
Today, as opposed to up until recently, it's possible to see all seven cities of Revelation where archaeology has been done and revealed those ancient cities.
There's not much to see either in Philadelphia or Thyatira. But again, Pergamum is a major archaeological site with ongoing excavation. Of course, we mentioned Ephesus already, and then with Laodicea. And Sardis, the American team in Sardis continues to be working regularly with excellent publications coming out. So Sardis is likewise a wonderful site to visit.
The Sardis excavation is still going on, directed by Nick Cahill, University of Wisconsin professor, who will be in the field when we visit next June. I'm looking forward to that. If you just tuned in, we're talking with Mark Wilson of the Asia Minor Research Center.
We're talking about his book, Biblical Turkey, A Guide to the Jewish and Christian Sites of Asia Minor. We've been focusing in on these sites from east to west and what's happening archaeologically at many of them, or what can be seen if you get a chance to visit them. Wrapping up our discussion with the western sites, including the sites that are mentioned in the Book of Revelation. We had a chance to visit some of these sites on our 2001 tour. In addition to Ephesus, I thought Pergamum was the most impressive.
It is, with its situation there on top of the Acropolis, 1,000 feet above the valley floor below. It has the largest standing red brick building from the Roman period there as well, called the Red Basilica. And then you have one of the three centers of the Asclepius cult in the Aegean, with the Asclepium. So between those three sites and a very nice small archaeological museum, it makes a wonderful day of touring there in the modern city of Bergama, ancient Pergamum.
And what is the significance of the Asclepius cult?
This was Asclepius, the Greek god of healing. So you would have people who were obviously sick, injured, who would be coming there for healing through various therapies. We know the one, of course, on the island of Kos, where Hippocrates was from. You know, we're familiar with the Hippocratic Oath, but that has its background in these cults of Asclepius. More minor temples were found in Corinth. You know, many people have visited Corinth and have seen the plaster cast models of various body parts where people offered up votive offerings in thanks for their healings. After the first century, really the Asclepius cult becomes a major competitor for Christianity, as you have pitted, you know, healing in the name of Jesus against healing in the name of Asclepius. Quite an interesting rivalry after the emergence of Christianity.
Another one of the seven cities is the site of Smyrna, which is modern Izmir. You lived in Izmir for several years.
Yes, I did. And the new excavations going on in the state agora in the heart of Izmir is quite exciting. The archaeologist there from the local September 9th University, Akın Ersoy, has been doing some wonderful work. One of the interesting things that was discovered in the basement area of the basilica in that area was a number of graffiti. One of the graffiti has been identified as perhaps one of the earliest Christian inscriptions that's ever been found. It's been dated to the middle of the 2nd century A.D., and it says in Greek, the one who gives the spirit. We're not fully sure its use, but it's been tentatively identified as some way of a Christian in the city letting others know that there are believers in the city of Smyrna.
And I guess to wrap up our discussion of biblical archaeology in Turkey, the northwestern part of Turkey is one of the most famous sites of archaeology in the world, Troy, ancient Troy, and nearby the remains of Troas, the important site in the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
And again, at Troas, or Alexandria Troas, there was not much work going on. It was just a huge site with oak forest, very lovely setting right there on the sea and on the Aegean. Again, there's been a German team that started working over the last few years. They've uncovered part of the Decumanus Maximus as it went down to the harbor. They've been working on uncovering the small Odeon or Bulatarian, where the council building, and then last year working on some of the bath complexes and unearthing them. So it's really exciting to see this site that was really so important for Paul, visiting there at least four or five times during his travels, brought back to life. So it's really a lovely place to visit now.
And you would recommend that if people are thinking about traveling to the Holy Land, they include Turkey.
Absolutely. I think you'd be very excited to come here. It's a natural complement to travels to Israel. I want to assure people it's very safe. I think many Americans see this part of the world as being dangerous because of the neighbors that we have, but Turkey is a very safe place to travel. It's a good travel bargain. People are friendly. Food is great, and accommodations are excellent. And combine that with the wonderful biblical sites, and you can't have a better place to make a tour.
And since we did that interview in 2011, we've been looking for an opportunity to return to Turkey, and we're finally doing it this coming June, as we have mentioned several times on this program. The dates are June 8th through the 19th. We have room for you if you're interested, but the deadline to sign up is just a week or so away, so don't put it off if you're interested. Further details can be found at our website at radioscribe.com. Mark Wilson, director of the Asia Minor Research Center, lives in Antalya, Turkey, and his book is Biblical Turkey, A Guide to the Jewish and Christian Sites of Asia Minor. We have more resources on our website, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and information about Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. That's at radioscribe.com. If you're listening on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, give us a positive review so more people can enjoy learning about the latest news in biblical archaeology. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.